Welcome to Riding the Pine Podcast, where we talk about all things hockey, trades, signings, weekly recaps of games, draft overview, and prospect overview. I am your host, Max Wiebe.
And I am your co-host, Nolan Flannery. I'm excited to get going.
I couldn't be more excited myself. So what do you want to talk about first here, Nolan?
The Oilers, I think they've made some dumb decisions recently.
I mean, that's
starting
typical.
With today. Not even a... So they gave up their first-round pick. They're not a defenseman, not a goalie. But for an old Adam Henrique. And what is Adam Henrique going to do to help the Edmonton Oilers more than what they already have? They don't need offense. They don't need a slow old center. They need a defenseman to replace Cody Ceci, and they need a goalie. They're not going to do anything without a proper top six on defense and a proper goalie. It's stupid.
I mean, just hearing around for what other people have been talking about recently coming up to the trade deadline, it has been rumored that the Oilers are content with their goalie tandem right now.
It baffles me. I don't know how you can be Ken Holland and think that Stuart Skinner is going to win you four rounds, four best of seven rounds. I don't know.
I don't know how. I mean, looking at this trade, I feel like, honestly, the Ducks won. They got a first-round pick. They have a 2025 fifth-round pick. And it becomes a fourth if Edmonton wins the Cup, which, let's be honest, won't happen.
They got rid of Sam Carrick for free.
Yeah, and
that's a win in my books.
They have more cap space now too, and I don't know what Tampa's doing here. They got nothing except for a fourth round pick, and that's about it.
Tampa's fake money. Their LTIR money.
One of the trades.
$9 million they have to spend.
One of the trades I want to talk about here is more so a rumor. It's a report. People are expecting this trade to happen, whether it will or not. I feel the trade for the Canucks, looking for Jake Guentzel. It's not a bad idea to try and get a guy like Guentzel, but the one problem here is, who are we going to give up? You look at the roster, first of all, they don't have any cap space. That's a big problem. They have $0 in cap space. And part of that is they acquired Elias Lindholm. This was a good trade. I feel so far from watching the games he's played, he's a good fit in Tocchet's system. But if you look at the rest of the team of who we have to offer, there is not much to look at.
We already spent all of our assets that I was willing to spend on a forward in Lindholm. I don't know how we're supposed to acquire another elite forward with what we have left. We already don't have our first or second this year. I don't want to give up a guy like Hoglander or Podkolzin even for a rental. It's just, I'm kind of scared for what Alvin and Rutherford are going to hook up here in the upcoming days.
Yes, and like you said there, Podkolzin, I think the sole reason the Canucks have called up Podkolzin for this last little bit of the remainder of the season before a trade deadline is so they can flip him and Lindholm for what's going to be a rental, because Guentzel does not seem to want to re-sign right now with any of the teams that are in the runnings for him for this playoff push. And looking at their draft picks, though,
I don't think Podkolzin is in play.
I don't think he is either. I think he's back in the minors now.
They sent him down to the AHL so he could play in the Calder Cup playoffs. There's a paperwork move. So I don't think they would do that if they were going to ship him away.
No. Because
I don't know.
That was done today. So, yeah. That's scratched. But looking here at their draft picks for this upcoming draft and the next two, this year the only drafts we have is a third, a fourth, two sixes, and a seventh. Next year they have a first and a second. So realistically, if they really wanted to sell to also buy at the same time for this last minute push, while they're in their first slump of the season, which is kind of impressive with the run they've had this year, given what people expected of them. But I wouldn't be surprised if they traded next year's first as well, if they really wanted Gensel for this push.
And if we're willing to pay two first-round picks for this playoff push, on the beginning of the season, I just thought the Canucks would be maybe a wild-card team, maybe sneak into the playoffs. That was best-case scenario. Wasn't expecting us or the Vancouver Canucks to be this dominant, they put themselves in a position to be a buyer when we don't have the foundations to be a buyer. So, kind of nervous on how this deadline's going to end up going.
And yeah, like you said, with the whole assets willing up to give up, we got rid of Kuzmenko. Yoni Yermo, at this point, he's a prospect. He hasn't played an NHL game yet. Hunter, I don't even know how to say his last name. He's also a prospect.
Brusevich.
I all seriousness, I am a Canadiens fan. So, take this as what you will. I don't know all the Canucks prospects. And then Studnicka to the Sharks. We didn't really give up much for Zadorov other than draft picks. Beauvillier to Chicago was a good trade, I think. Got a pick out of that. And Tanner Pearson in the beginning of the season to Montreal for Casey DeSmith. Or before the season, sorry.
That was a very smart trade by Alvin. They did what Edmonton can't do, and that's find a goalie.
Yes. And
for cheap.
Honestly, that was probably one of the best moves they've made so far this season. Their trade with Pittsburgh earlier in the season, October 17th, trading away Rathbone and Plisek for Friedman and Glover. I think that was a bad trade,
Friedman,
personally.
I mean, Rathbone, I don't see him as an NHL player, and Friedman is an established seventh defenseman in the league, so it wasn't really a big trade by any means.
It was just shuffling guys around.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to touch on quickly here, there's a signing that happened yesterday for the Colorado Avalanche. One of the most iconic players in recent World Juniors history.
Ivan
signed with the Colorado Avalanche, 2 years entry-level deal. It has not been announced yet what his AAV is, but he's been playing with their affiliate, the Eagles, and he so far has 27 points in 51 games, which, if you ask me, that's not horrible for what I believe he was a second or a third line player with the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how he was playing in the AHL, but I think whenever you have a player with that name, you've got to lock him up.
You have to. I mean,
that's jersey sales right there. So.
And then with the whole, who knows if it's true, but with World Juniors, is it Ivan Ivan or is it Ivan Ivan Ivan? That's the one thing that...
Is his middle name Ivan?
Does he have a middle name is the question. Because I've heard some other people say when I saw this post that apparently where he's from...
There's no way James Doughty would lie to me in Christmas time at the World Juniors. His name's Ivan Ivan Ivan. Ivan Cubed.
He is a living legend right now in the hockey world right now as far as his name alone. One more signing
Max,
I want to
how did
on.
You think... I'm just going to mention the Tarasenko trade right here. I think that's a brutal return from Ottawa. They got less for Tarasenko than what the Ducks got for Adam Henrik. I think that's kind of crazy.
I have been following the Senators a lot more this year than I usually do. And watching a Senators game earlier this year, I think this trade is horrible. Granted, it was one game I watched.
That's more value than that.
There was one game I watched this year in person Ottawa played, and from the one game alone, Tarasenko was one of the few guys who played a full 60 minutes on a full 200-foot game. Other than that, it was Brady Tkachuk. Brady Tkachuk, Tarasenko, and Giroux. They were the three guys mainly that actually played a 200-foot, 60-minute game. And this trade where they get a fourth-round pick that's conditional to a third, and a 25 third round pick for Tarasenko is, so it's a brutal trade in my thoughts, honestly.
Not only is the value there not there, you also retain 50% of his contract, and you don't get any added picks for that. I think this was just terrible from the Senators.
And the fact that they went out of the way to sign him too this year to try and make a change in the locker room and on the ice, terrible trade.
Yeah, it's just stacking Florida. That is a stacked top six they have in Florida now.
After watching their playoff push last year and just seeing the team get better and better with acquisitions this year, I am terrified that they will make a push and have a chance at keeping the cup outside of Canada for another season.
I don't see a Canadian team stopping that lineup, if I'm being honest. As much as I would like the Canucks to, I don't think we're experienced enough in playoff hockey to pull that off.
I don't think they will either, because even with the rumors of signing Phil Kessel, I haven't seen anything recently about that since he's practiced in Abbotsford.
No, they've completely ghosted the Phil Kessel story. Don't hear anything.
No, and I honestly thought that was going to be a good signing for the Canucks, picking up a veteran.
Oh, 40. Breaking news. We are breaking a trade from the podcast.
Oh.
Noah Hanifin has been traded to the Vegas Golden Knights.
What are they getting?
Ryan Leslie of Sportsnet. We do not know yet. Just popped up.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. I see it.
Yeah.
Does
the Flames are selling.
Does this surprise you, though, seeing this breaking news here?
I'm surprised they traded him to a Pacific Division team, especially a team that's not that far off from them points-wise, with Calgary making a push here. But as a Canuck fan, as someone who wants to see us succeed, come out of the Pacific, that gives Vegas yet another weapon on the back end. That's scary. You don't want to face that team in the playoffs.
No.
Nor the Oilers, nor the Kings, for that matter. It's not easy.
Although looking here online, it looks like I can see why the Flames are selling, because they're lower in the standings. They have what seems to be 9 picks in this year's draft, and 2 of them are first-round picks. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to do a last-second sell and try to get as high as they can in the Celebrini sweepstakes.
As soon as they trade Lindholm, or as soon as they traded Zadorov at the start of the season, I knew they were going to sell, but it's just, you hate seeing a team trade within a division. I hope Vegas had to give up quite a bit for this.
Yes, because even the fact that this was in the division, he's a pretty solid player, and there hasn't been many complaints about him since he's been in the league.
Yeah, he's former 5th overall pick, if I'm not mistaken, from the 2015 draft. So he was with some pretty elite company at the top of that draft.
Yeah, he was.
He has the skill there.
For a pretty stacked draft, that's pretty good. And the fact that he's been traded, hopefully they get a decent amount of return. And then Canadian hockey fans might not like this person. But the Carolina Hurricanes signed Maxime Comtois to a 1-year $7.75 contract. It's a two-way.
That's good for him.
It's good for him, but I know he was supposed to be that Canadian stud, and the World Juniors in Vancouver, was that 2019?
Yes, I believe so.
I know, as I was in that building for a decent amount of games, the Canadian fans did not have a whole lot of praise for him. And his NHL career after that World Juniors, it was kind of just like tucked away in the corner and no one really remembered who he was. And playing in Anaheim, it seemed like he struggled a little bit with that system and that roster.
He couldn't even get a contract at the beginning of this season because of the 2018 Team Canada scandals.
Right, yes. And
so it's just been a couple tough breaks for him, but hopefully he gets back on the ground and running.
And then to mention that 2018 World Juniors team, that was, I believe that was the Buffalo year.
Yes, I think so.
What are your thoughts on the whole, the five players, and then Cale Makar, who has supposedly very clear alibis for how he wasn't there and still not being allowed to participate in the Olympics as of now, still. What are your thoughts on that?
I just think the whole thing was possibly the dumbest thing that they could have possibly done. Like, you're playing Team Canada, the World Juniors, you're all like first round picks, you all have futures in hockey, $1 million futures. And to even risk that of doing something so stupid, it just baffles me. I don't know what they were thinking, and they're getting what they deserved.
Yeah, I mean,
That's for sure.
I kind of saw it coming when all of a sudden there's Hockey Canada kind of hushed the allegations down by paying off the defendant, the female. And I'm not sure what her name is. I don't know where I can find it. I don't think it's publicized what her name is. But the fact that they paid her off and then it went away, and then a year and a half later, there's Dylan Dubé from the Flames taking a mental leave. The next day, you have Carter Hart taking a mental leave. And you look at the guys who are taking leaves, and you look at how old they are, and it makes sense that there's the London Police. They were asking NHL players to leave for private
Yeah.
matters. And then you look at the guys who are taking leaves, and you figure out what team they played on in World Juniors. And it wasn't hard for people to connect the links, as it was very shortly discovered that all these five guys were on the team. And it's quite sad that they, I get it, they were young and they were doing stupid stuff, but you have to think about where you're going.
Isn't that whole situation like kind of weird too? Like, what are you
Yes.
doing?
Like,
There's
what makes you think it's like, whether or not she supposedly, apparently, to what some people are saying, agreed to all of this. What makes you want to bring four of your teammates into a bedroom with you? I know I wouldn't want to do that.
no, it doesn't sound appealing to me, but
No.
maybe Carter Hart thinks differently.
I don't know. That Ontario Prison League is going to look pretty elite next year with their acquisitions. That's all I can say.
The Flyers' starting goalie gets to play in the prison league next year. Some talent.
And then,
But there's a Kevin Weeks tweet that just came out 5 minutes ago that is
oh,
quite interesting.
what
He
does it
said
say?
he heard earlier today that a three-team trade was thrown out there: Gensel to the Canucks, DeBrusk to the Penguins, and Lindholm to the Bruins. And that's being discussed right now.
And that tweet came out just now.
Yeah.
When I saw the other day that there were rumors of Lindholm being flipped, I was surprised that the Canucks were thinking that, because they gave,
Yeah,
that
I don't.
was,
Nobody that you put. He was basically a deadline acquisition,
yeah.
which close enough. And to flip him before the deadline, I've never seen that before. Never heard of it before. Probably's never happened. Probably won't happen again. But these
No.
Canucks, aggressive.
They're really trying to make that team that was and still is a really
The
good
city is
team.
going to be electric for the playoff run, though.
Yes.
That's a very tough building to play in the playoffs. And if you take into consideration they haven't had a home playoff game since like 2015, it's gonna be loud.
So as someone that's from the area, and you being a Canucks fan, what are the odds, if the Canucks don't win the Stanley Cup, what are the odds do you think for a riot?
If it's in like a very disappointing fashion, like there's going to be some idiots that do it again. But it's just such a passionate hockey city that, yeah, I'm not saying that if you're passionate, you should be able to burn down your own city, but I guess it makes sense.
I wouldn't be surprised either, because, yeah, like you said, it's a very passionate city for hockey, and they take the Canucks very seriously there. I think the other two teams, like the Lions and the Whitecaps in town, they're kind of overshadowed severely by the Canucks.
It also helps that the Canucks are in a major sport league. I don't think
Yes.
the Lions and Whitecaps could
No.
ever compete. Maybe the Whitecaps, the MLS is growing, but
Especially with Messi coming into the league. But that's another episode. We can talk about that.
It's
If
pretty
you
crazy. If you told me 10 years ago Messi would be playing in the MLS, I don't think I'd believe you, but
I would
here
probably
we
call you
are.
stupid.
It's better than Ronaldo playing in Saudi Arabia, though.
Yes, that
That's
is
just
true.
money.
Yeah. I have one more trade that I would want to talk about. On the topic of Vancouver, he's played in the Vancouver area for his junior hockey career. The Colorado Avalanche trade Bowen Byram one
Oh.
for one with Casey Mittelstadt.
This trade shocked me this morning. I was not expecting this at all. Like, just out of the blue. I know that Bowen Byram was a highly touted prospect at one point. He was very good, like in his first couple seasons in the NHL. But boy, has he fallen off. Right now he's playing like a bottom pair defenseman. If you look at his analytics, like he's in the red, he's around like 7%. Meanwhile, you look at Casey Mittelstadt, and he's like his 70% WAR. He's in the green. He's playing amazing this year. I think the Avalanche got a lot better adding Casey Mittelstadt. That's a pretty shocking trade, though.
And like you said, he was a highly scouted prospect when he was playing junior hockey. He had an amazing breakout year when he's playing in World Juniors. And his last season with the Vancouver Giants, it was any game you went to a Giants game, you knew who he was and you could tell he was going to do something that game. And yeah, like you said, he's fallen off in his NHL career. But I think personally, that's because of the amount of concussions he's had and the short amount of time. If you look at a player like Nolan Patrick, who supposedly is not retired, but he's stepped away from the Philadelphia Flyers, they both had a lot of concussions in their short time playing. So I could see why Colorado wanted to move on from him. And I think it's great for the Sabres to acquire a defenseman like that who is still developing in this league.
But he's gonna have to play behind Owen Power and Rasmus Dahlin, so they're really limiting his ice time there, and they've essentially traded an amazing forward, top six forward for it, so.
That is true. But if you look at their roster, if you look at their other than Power and Sandin, or sorry, not Sandin, Dahlin, who else do they really have? I haven't really paid attention to who they have on their back end. Like it's only really those two guys, as far as I'm concerned.
Were you talking about Buffalo's back end? Sorry.
Yes, Buffalo, yeah. Because they have Darlene, Power, and then, as far as I'm concerned, the other one that sticks out to me is Eric Johnson. Those three, I don't really think of anyone else on their defensive end.
The type of guy that, or what he was drafted to be a top. Or defenseman, be a top two defenseman and carry play. And if you already have to play behind a guy like Rasmus Dahlin and two first overall picks is what he's playing behind. And he's just going to be outshadowed. And Buffalo is notorious for being a place where your career goes to die. So
That
if I
yes,
was Bowen Byram, I don't think I'd be too happy right now.
no. And then, as far as on the topic of the Sabres, with their season so far, are you surprised at some of the players who are still playing with the team this year, as far as their rookie season or age or cap, or is this kind of on par with what you thought for the Sabres this year?
I'm impressed with Zach Benson. I thought he's been more effective than I thought he was going to be in year one. It's good for him, a local Vancouver area boy. But yeah, so if your team's captained by Kyle Okpozo in 2024, I don't think the team is going to go very far.
No. I'm surprised that Okpozo still has a spot in this league. His performance isn't the highest, and honestly, I feel like he's in the league and with the Sabres right now as a locker room veteran guy for these guys like Benson and who's that other rookie? Or Tage Thompson and Dylan Cousins. I think he's
They have
mainly
Peterka
there.
there too.
Huh? What was it, sorry?
They have JJ Peterka there too.
Oh, yes, that's true. I think, honestly, here, Okposo is mainly so in the league to guide these players and find their footing in the league.
Yeah, and he's done a good job of that. He used to be a pretty good player, but
yeah, there's no doubt
time
about
for the
that. Yeah,
Sabres to move on.
Yeah, I think it's time for... I think here he only has... This is his last year on his contract, and he's a UFA. He's only making $2.5 million. So at 35, that's... He's on his way out with age, and there are some other older guys in this club that can still guide these players through.
Yeah. They were actually... They've gone on some runs these last couple of years, just regular season wise. They've put together some long winning streaks. They've threatened to make the playoffs, especially with their recent prospects coming up. This could be a very dangerous Sabres team in the future.
Yeah, no, I totally agree on that. And it's for Benson, probably, it's kind of sad to see that his junior teammate, Matthew Savoy, has been traded. But I feel like that also gives Benson a spot to move up into and not have to challenge for that spot. But they were looking really deadly after the draft last year, in my eyes.
I'm curious to see what Vegas gave up to acquire Noah Hanifin. Hoping the details get broken here soon.
I'm just waiting for that as well. Is there any other trades you want to talk about while we wait for the Hanifin details?
I thought there was a very interesting trade that the Rangers made today. It was rumored going into today that the Canucks and the Rangers were the front runners to land Jake Guentzel. And I assume the Rangers would acquire Jake Guentzel because we've already got Lindholm. I wouldn't believe the Lindholm for Guentzel rumors.
No.
But when I saw the Rangers went out and spent a second and a fourth from next year on Wennberg, the roster spot already gets taken up by Wennberg, and they gave up one of their better assets in a second from this year. I don't think they're in on Guentzel anymore, and that really only leaves one team.
No.
So I am very terrified from the Canucks' perspective of what they have just done.
And yeah, for on the topic of that with the Wennberg trade, that does really only leave the Canucks in the runnings for Guentzel. And if you look, like you said earlier, if you look at their roster, there's not many players that you can think of affording to spend for a rental. You have players like Besser, who after 2 years, his salary's up. And as far as we know, he likes playing in Vancouver. There's honestly, it's really only Lindholm. I could see Connor Garland going, honestly, from my own opinion.
I think the Canucks are going to look very different next year because we do have cap problems.
Yes.
I think a lot of the bottom six will be gone, and I think they'll be replaced in-house by guys like Podkolzin and guys like Arsteep Baines. Even defensively, if we lose Adorov, I think a guy like Jet Wu would slide in. But guys like Lafferty, Bluger even, could be gone. I want to keep Bluger. I want to keep Joshua. I think those are key to keep. And I would like to keep Garland. Mikhaev needs to go. Hopefully we ship him out in
no
the Guentzel trade.
I think that would be a great move. He came in last year, and he didn't do horrible, but he underperformed a little bit compared to what he's done in Toronto. And then this year, it just slowed down more. But the problem with Mikhaev is he has a modified no-trade clause. So depending on what teams he has, it's going to be a lot harder to move him out for what teams want and what he doesn't want to go.
Yeah, it's also such a terrible contract. Who signed it? Was it Benning or Alvin?
I'm pretty sure it was Benning that was the one that signed Mikhaev.
Seems like a very Benning contract to see here. It was signed by Alvin, though. That does make sense. But 4.75 for like 4 years on Mekhi. It was crazy then, and it's
It's gonna
kicking
be
off
crazy
right now.
in 25, 26 when it's over, because there's no picking up from him, just from what I can see, and he's just gonna get older.
Yeah, the knee injury was Tyler Myers is finally up this year. Thank God. Aronic wants an extension though. It's a big extension.
But with having Myers' $6 million contract and Roenick being an RFA, I feel like it wouldn't be too hard to extend Roenick and get rid of Myers at the same time.
Yeah, we are going to extend to Roenick. What I am very curious about is why we would trade Lindholm so soon. I wonder if he rejected some extension proposals and we're trying to flip them. But yeah, I don't know how we re-sign him, if I'm being honest.
You know, 'cause he's making right now, he's making 4.85, and he's just gonna want more, and there's no way that we can afford him right now in this situation we're in.
There is only three defensemen on the Canucks roster that are signed for 2024, 2025. And those being Quinn Hughes, Carson Soucy, and Noah Juulsen. So there's going to be some big decisions coming up on the back end for the Canucks.
I could
This
see
deadline's interesting.
Juulsen getting flipped at the draft or even after.
But since he's on a 750 contract, I think they'll keep him. I
Yeah, I
think
mean,
he
he
does
doesn't.
his job pretty well for how cheap.
I think the biggest problem is going to be
The
our
biggest
bottom
problem kicks
six.
in 2025 and
Yeah.
2026 when we have to pay Oliver Ekman-Larsson $4.8 million to not play for us.
You know, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, horrible year last year. He didn't contribute much, but he's picked up and he's shown why he can stay in this league. And I am not just saying that because I have a Ekman-Larsson Canucks jersey.
But yeah, he's played well this year for the years prior. And if he
Yes.
wasn't making that $7 million or whatever his contract was, he'd be a valuable piece of the Canucks decor. But unfortunately, you cannot win with paying an old Oliver Ekman-Larsson like close to $8 million. Doesn't work. Need more production.
Then, so moving on from the trades, is there anything you want to talk about for the past week's games? Do you have any game notes on those?
I'm shocked of how boring the LA Kings are trying to make watching LA Kings hockey be. To have that exciting of a roster with like Fiala, Trevor Moore, still Doughty, and to play a strict trap, a neutral zone trap, a 1-3-1, like the Islanders did against Tampa in the bubble playoffs is crazy. It felt like a chore trying to watch the Canucks play the Kings last night, but thankfully, they pulled out the win, but so boring.
And I know that in our day-to-day lives, I always harp on you. I'm surprised the Canucks have only had one slump this year so far, and it's just recently. Are you worried that that will continue to the end of the season going into the playoffs?
I think we're already out of it. I think the Boston game, the comeback win against Boston, was massive for the morale. It boys were hyped in the room. Everything was good. I know we lost the game after. I'm just gonna pull up who we played. But it was a game we were leading.
Oh, the
On
game
here.
after Boston. That was.
Yeah.
That was the Kings. 5-1 loss on
Yeah,
the 29th.
never mind. I was confused there, but
Yes.
it was the first time we played the trap like this year, like that strict of a trap, and just couldn't get any offense going. The Bucks were not bouncing. It was a pretty flat effort from us. So can't really get too mad at that.
No.
But moving on to Anaheim, that was a very, very clean game. Not a lot of mistakes were made, and really just shut down Anaheim and walked our way to a playoff type victory. And then that carried over into last night's game against Los Angeles. So
I can see
I
this
think the
effort.
Canucks have. I think the Canucks will be okay going into the playoffs. I think they're the toughest matchup for a lot of teams in the a sneaky, tough matchup. I definitely think they get out of round one. It especially with the addition of Hanifin and how hot the Oilers have been, beating another Pacific team in the second round is going to be a bit sketchy. But if they do that, they also have to face either like Colorado or Dallas, which is not easy whatsoever. It's a tough road to the Stanley Cup, as it should be, but I think the Canucks are battle tested for it throughout past failures and this season's adversity, and hopefully they go make a run at it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this energy from last night's win, especially after beating Anaheim, I can see this energy pushing into the playoffs and making an easy breakthrough into the second round. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens at all.
And I'm excited for it. Can't wait for the playoffs to start, and can't wait to know what we do here at the deadline. Very anxious.
Then as far as playoffs and the deadline, Montreal Canadiens, they confuse me. As a Canadiens fan, I'm confused every year on what we're doing. We'll start the season out, we'll look like we're trying to rebuild, and then all of a sudden we win five games, and it's a confusing team to cheer for. And on the topic of last night's game, Derek Savard's goal.
Oh, I saw that. That was that ups his trade value, you know. Quick
I think that
little
does. But
center ice ball.
if you think about it, that you try that shot 10,000 times, it's gonna go in maybe twice.
Right, like a million times. I think it goes in once. That was the craziest bounce ever. And
When I first
yeah,
watched it,
that.
I was confused on why Saros was behind the net to begin the play. And then I had to watch it a couple times to realize that he went to play the puck and it hit off the stanchion into the net.
Yeah.
That was, as a Canadiens fan, I was extremely happy watching that highlight, seeing them win a game. But I just want them to figure out what direction they're going to go in, if they're going to go into a rebuild or if they're going to go in as a buyer into this deadline and then into the draft, trying to put together a last-minute contending team for next year, like kind of like what they did after COVID and kind of what the Canucks are doing right now.
I think they're happy with how Slaf has been playing this year. He's definitely picked it up. He's looking more and more like a first overall pick. And I think you've got to sell assets like David Savard and your older players, get picks for him this year, and just continue to get younger, continue to build a winning culture, continue to grow, and they'll be good soon. I like Ryan Bacher. I like Lane Hutson. They have some great D prospects coming up. They have, again, Caulfield's amazing. Suzuki's amazing. They have some good pieces in place, and they just need to wait the course, and the wins will come.
Yeah, and like we were preaching about earlier with Edmonton, I think the other big problem right now is with Price retiring unofficially last year, 2 years ago, that left a big gap in the roster, and they need to find their next 1A goalie because they have, who do they have right now? They have is it Montembeau and Allen, I believe, on their roster.
Yeah, they're running Monty and they're not playing Allen. I know it. Caden Primeau.
Oh
Primeau.
yes, those
Can't really
two
pronounce it.
guys.
Not French, but
I stopped paying attention in French class in grade 7. Not gonna lie.
same.
But yeah, those two guys, they're especially Montembeau, he's looking really good, but I don't see like a superstar goalie in either of Primo and Montembeau. Those, I think they need to try and acquire a goalie that will help benefit either in the draft or even free agency this year after the draft.
I think a decent plan of action for the Canadians would be, because we know Boston's going to have to decide on whether to keep Swayman or Ullmark pretty soon. Whatever one they decide to move on from, if I'm the Canadians, I'm making a strong push for them. But I know the teams like the Devils and the Oilers, they're also going to be, they're struggling right now. They need a goalie, and there's not a lot of quality available.
No, and I think, honestly, I feel like the Bruins right now, I think they're going to stick with Swayman, so my thoughts are that Montreal needs to either trade for Ullmark at the deadline, at the draft, or sign him as soon as they can, because even looking at their trades, I don't really see much of what they have that the Bruins would want other than Caulfield, Suzuki, and like their prospects, and Montreal doesn't want to move on from their prospects, especially Slavkovsky and Caulfield, because they are going to be the future of this team.
Yeah. They're definitely untouchables. Logan Mailloux, I think is how you pronounce it. He had a bit of a controversial start to his career with his allegations, but he's been playing quite well this season. That's another solid defensive prospect that you can maybe flip for in a package for a goalie, but the Canadians, they're in a decent spot. Just don't panic.
No,
run the course, and I think they'll be okay. I think a team that has to worry about getting a goalie is the New Jersey Devils, though, that roster cannot be losing those games. Like, they lost 5-1 to Anaheim and 5-1 to LA back to back, if I'm not mistaken. Like, that just can't happen.
No,
I had them top of the Metro going into this season. I was very high on Jack Hughes and Toffoli, but it hasn't really worked out as I thought it would.
Yeah, no, definitely not a good look when you're going lost 5-3 against the Panthers and then 5-1 against the Devils and versus the and 4-3 against the Ducks. Those that's not a good look for the roster they have. And they, like you said, they need a goalie because they have a team. They just need to finish the back end up with a decent quality goalie.
Yeah, very disappointed with New Jersey, and quite disappointed with Pittsburgh too.
Yes,
Crosby's still playing at a very high level. And to have the rest of the team performing like it has, that's terrible. Crosby's done so much for the organization, and they spent a lot of money to get him Erik Karlsson, an old Erik Karlsson, coming off a year that we knew he couldn't replicate. It's just, I don't really know where Kyle Dubas was going with that one. I think that money could have been better spent on another position, even.
Yeah, Kyle Dubas, so far in his career as a general manager, I feel like for every good signing or good trade he has, there's 5 controversial ones that people raise an eyebrow to and question on why he did that. My biggest one, honestly, for me, for Dubas, is when he was with the Leafs and he had 3 players all making about $30 to $35 million a year total, and it kind of screwed them over with their depth.
Mm.
And I think he's bringing that into Pittsburgh right now. I totally see why Toronto parted ways with Dubas, because he had a vision and it was opposite from Toronto, and I think he's trying to bring that vision to Pittsburgh now.
I think Ron Hextall did terrible things for the structure of that team, too.
Yes.
There's some issues that you can't fix. Scary.
It's
scary times for Kyle Dubas.
Kyle Dubas and then the fans of the Penguins, too. Like, it must be hard going to a game and watching them struggle like they are this year, especially with guys like Crosby, Malkin, like the cornerstone of that team for the past decade at least. And then you have guys coming up like Puljujärvi, and honestly, I don't really see anyone else in this team that's young enough to help cornerstone this team for the next decade like Crosby and Malkin did.
Yeah, it's an interesting name that I'd like the Canucks to take a look at, and I think it would be much more feasible, is Frank Vatrano, yes. Anaheim Ducks. I think he's a sneaky good player. He's not small. I think he'd, playing with like Miller and Besser, I think that's a perfect line for him to fit in. I think it fits us more than going after Gensel, and a lot cheaper with. And he has a year after this one at 3.65, so that's not that much.
No, not at all. And that would be a great pickup for the Canucks. And like you said, it'd be way more feasible than trying to get a rental like Gensel.
Yeah. I'm so scared. Like, I just know I'm going to get the notification the Canucks made some massive trade for rental. And, I just know he's not coming back.
Yeah, it sucks to see, like, we're doing so good, making the trades they made, and with the trade for Lindholm, getting rid of Kuzmenko, he wasn't getting a whole lot of ice time this year, and it didn't seem like him and Tocchet got along, so I totally see why they parted ways with him. But to pick up Lindholm and then flip him 15, 16 games after we acquired him, I don't think it makes sense logically to get a rental out of that and risk losing losing a highly sought after prospect like Kuzmenko.
Yeah, and you did give away a guy with 80 points as a defenseman in the OHL. You gave away your first this year and another defensive prospect, so it was a decent package. I still think the trade was good in theory. I would like to see Lindholm hold the puck more, make more offensive plays, but off the puck, defensively, he's been very solid. He's the perfect 3C for a playoff run. If you're running like four centers, four lines, it's perfect to have on that third line. So, hope we don't flip him for Gensel, to be honest. I think that'd be pretty silly.
Yeah, that whole... The Gensel rumors and hype around him, I don't get it. Yes, he was a good player back when Pittsburgh had their back-to-back years, but he was still, what, a third or second line forward on that team?
He's a good player, don't get me wrong, but I think a majority of his production, like in his best years, came from being on Crosby's line.
Yeah.
And I think he could just, his value could be a little bit inflated. His next contract could be inflated, and I'm scared that we're going to have to pay for a 20-game rental.
Yeah, honestly, and it's not, I don't think it's not a good move for this. And looking online right now, according to Cap Friendly, I don't see him on the roster either, so...
Gensel could be on the IR if you're talking about him.
Yes. What is he? Do you know what he's injured for right now? Or he's on LTIR for.
Yeah.
Doesn't say. But yeah, $6 million, 20 games. I don't think that's worth it.
Plus, he's going to want like 9 to 10 with the cap going up. And his neck is an extension this offseason, so
yes,
scary. But one thing to keep in mind is that Jim Rutherford signed Gensel to this contract. So he likes Gensel. He knows Gensel. May go out and get Gensel. And Rutherford also drafted Elias Lindholm, though. So
yes. And correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Tocchet also with Pittsburgh when Gensel was drafted and they made their back-to-back cup runs?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's
And
I
Alvin
won't
was a scout for them, and
I wouldn't be surprised if they try and take Gensel, maybe even a couple other assets from Pittsburgh that they know and they feel like they can trust.
opinions on Elias Pettersson's contract extension.
I think he's underpaid, personally.
I think he's underpaid too, but that's great for the team. I was
It,
expecting a 12.5 or higher, and very glad it's under 12.
but like yeah, like you said, it underpaid, but it's good for the team. But if you look at the at his contract and his point production, and then you compare it to a guy who has a very similar contract for next year, Willie Stiles or William Nylander. Personally, I think one's overpaid, one's underpaid, and Nylander is his contract put a bigger damper on what the Leafs can do surrounding those four guys.
It's so funny to me how the Leafs will be paying back like next season. Tavares and Nylander more money than what the Canucks are going to pay Pettersson and Quinn Hughes. And I think we all know which duo you would rather have.
I would rather have Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson.
Okay.
But to
Yes, for a
go,
cheaper price too.
yes. But to go on to the Quinn Hughes stakes, you could say I'm a slight Makar fan. But I personally feel if you had the option to any offensive or two-way defenseman, Cale Makar looks like a better player than Quinn Hughes, to me. And I know you might call me crazy because of the season that McC
Without bias, I would probably take Makar, but we do have to take into consideration Makar is a year older, year more
Yes.
development. I don't. Hughes is such a great skater. He's so great on his edges. I think he edges out, ironically, Cale Makar in that factor, but Makar is just. He's a great player. I would love Cale Makar in the Vancouver Canucks. And I love the fact he's from Calgary. That's my boy. I would agree with you that Cale Makar is better than Quinn Hughes.
As far as trades or anything, I have nothing else I want to go over. Is there anything you any last things you want to talk about here, Nolan,
Wrap it up.
before we wrap it up? Yeah.
Just want to mention how I'm so glad the Canucks didn't trade for Sean Walker. So glad he's going to the Avalanche. I think he's not a good defenseman. I think he's a defensive liability. And I was hoping he'd go to the Oilers for that reason, but I'm okay with him taking out another Western Conference threat.
As far as the hatred towards the Oilers, is there any reason, any particular reason you have this opinion on this team?
A couple buddies of mine are big Oilers fans, and I can't stand it. The years of disrespect towards the Canucks have just so much resentment there. But I know they're a good team, but not at the expense of my Canucks.
That's understandable. Is that all you wanted to talk about today for first episode?
I think it was a good start to the episode. Thank you for listening, and welcome to Ride the Pine.
We want you to ride the pine with us next week. We're gonna hopefully post a second episode next week, either Wednesday or Thursday. And yeah, thanks for tuning in for the first episode. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yes, sir.